This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, with the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
Raymond, hit my music.
Go New York, go New York, go. Go New York, go New York, go.
You're listening to DPHRO and Rothenberg, DNR, the R&R boys.
Jan Blachowicz. No. Jan Blachowicz.
Not sure that's it, but call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy.
We are
up with you every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. We want to hear from you, especially Knicks fans this morning. Give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. I'm Rick DiPietro.
We are human Mophies.
He's Dave Rothenberg. We got a great show planned for you this morning. The power of Dave Rothenberg on display again last night.
The only thing I can hope is that we get like 7 overtimes tonight.
Why do you want to punish yourself?
Because I want to punish you, and I want to punish the Knicks producer, Ray Santiago. That's what I want.
And of course, as usual, Dave is right. Knicks with an emotionally exhausting double overtime win against the Celtics. Aaron Boone, some interesting things to say on the K-Show yesterday. Astros and Braves, both a win away from the World Series. Week 7. Can you believe it? Week 7 kicks off tonight. Denver and Cleveland. Deshaun Watson wants to ruin my life. Looks like he's on his way to Miami. We got some Jets. We got some Giants. Dave, I'm sure, is going to throw somebody under the bus. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we got Knob Observations and Did It Happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to my multi-talented co-host.
I think I'd be excellent in childbirth.
David Aloysius Rothenberg.
Oh, glorious. What an open. Really, it had everything. It was like a full feature film, right? You laughed, you cried, you felt emotion. It had everything. I do feel. Now, do you want an honest assessment, or do you want me just to sugarcoat everything here?
No, honest. Give me constructive criticism, please.
It's not even constructive. Like, you've done nothing wrong. The only thing I'll say of that whole beautiful soliloquy of an open is I'm finding wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey to be kind of old and stale. That's me.
No, I think the people like it.
You think the people like it?
I think the people like it. I think on Thursdays they look forward to a little wait. I mean, Wendy's liked it. They ripped it right off. Their whole radio ad campaign now is wakey wakey.
Yeah, well.
Someone's listening.
People listen. I'm not saying they don't listen. I find it to be a tad bit stale. But otherwise, I think, you know, there's audio, which is very important. You can trust the speakers with the audio. There's comedy-laced drops in there. There's informative pieces of information. It's good. It's well done. It's well crafted. I'm sure it took you, if I put the over-under on 90 minutes, where would you go? Over-under 90 minutes.
I think you're slamming the over. Slamming the over.
So that little baby took you well over 1.5 hours.
Well, you got to realize too, right? I mean, it's not so much like what we're going to talk about on the show. I think we all have a pretty good idea what we're going to talk about. It's now sifting through the catalog of Dave Rothenberg drops.
Yeah.
And how I'm sprinkling these things in. Now I got to, all of a sudden at, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning, I got to text RJ, hey, RJ, do me a solid. Dave mentioned multiple overtimes yesterday. I need you to cut that up. There's a lot of production that goes into this thing.
Here we go. Oh, God.
That's coming next week. I can guarantee
that's
that.
That's good.
I can guarantee that's coming next week.
That's good. That's really rich. That's good. Yeah, you know what? I wanted multiple overtimes. I stood by it. I'm happy they happened. I hope it meant less sleep for Santiago. The Knicks still got the win, and all is good in my world. All is good in my world this morning.
There was no reason for that game to go into multiple overtimes. None.
No, that was awful.
Zero.
I do not understand what they were doing at the end of regulation. How does that happen? First of all, I don't know your mindset. I'd like to know it, actually. Are you a foul up three closing seconds of a game guy?
Yes.
That's what you do. I don't know what they're doing on that final possession.
Well,
last
I think
night.
Here's what I'll say. I think the fact that Tatum, almost like, let's go back to the DeSean Jackson punt return.
Ugh,
No. I'm not trying to stick the knife in you and twist it. What I'm saying is, did you not feel in the moment of that play, because I mean, close your eyes, you can remember like it was yesterday, that him dropping the ball actually screwed up the coverage?
Sent the whole play into chaos, yes.
I think the same thing happened yesterday. I think the fact that Tatum slipped down, it screwed up Burks, which all of a sudden now makes Fournier decide, okay, I got to come down and help out, which was a mistake.
Oh,
and then
God.
For some reason, listen, the biggest mistake on that play was, I mean, what the hell is Kemba doing? I mean, down the stretch,
know.
He was awful.
I don't know what any of them were doing on that play, really.
Well, all of a sudden, I mean, he collapses to the middle. You're up. I mean, you're up three. He collapses to the middle and just leaves Smart wide open at the three-point line.
Just run up and
give
foul
him a two.
Somebody. Just run up and grab somebody. It was awful. That being said, isn't it nice to be frustrated that your team had a moment where you're like head scratching, what happened, and they still found their way to a double overtime win in what was an electric Madison Square Garden on opening night?
No, it was huge. It was huge because, I mean, could you imagine how you would feel if they lost this game in overtime?
This would have been a morbid show. There would have been no eggs and bakey. It would have been like tofu and toast.
No, see, that's why you need the eggs and bacon. I mean, what's better than waking up at 5 a.m. to the smell of eggs and bacon cooking in the kitchen?
Bacon is really special,
nothing.
Isn't it?
Oh,
yeah. How much bacon do you think you could eat in one sitting? If bacon wasn't bad for you, how much do you think you could eat? A pound?
No, more than a pound.
More than a pound?
Way
of bacon?
More than a pound.
Two pounds.
I crush a pound of deli turkey in a sitting.
Yeah, that's delicious. 2 pounds of bacon?
Yeah, easy 2 pounds. At that
love
point,
bacon.
It's just a... making sure I don't get myself sick.
Go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats.
Because you know, you give me that, you know, nice, well-cooked, crisp piece of bacon.
Mm.
There's nothing better.
Now, I agree with you, but I will take the flip side of this, and I think you'll agree, that like ratty, fatty, like raw-ish piece of bacon is gross.
I hate it.
It's gross.
See, Mickey Rourke, my mom loves that, dude.
Oh.
We used to call her the seagull because she would come in and like take the scraps, like the fatty, like if you had a steak or a pork chop or bacon, she would come in and eat that stuff.
That's
like
a
grizzle.
That's like a dog.
Oh, dude, she loved it. Gross.
She doesn't eat the green stuff in the lobster, does she?
No, my Nana's boyfriend, Bobby, used to eat the tamale. He used to get a spoon. Oh, God. And he's like, oh, this is delicious. How come you guys don't eat it? I'm like, because it's gross.
Ugh. You're not supposed to eat it. It's disgusting. Anyhow, that was a win last night. I mean, that was a win. I'll tell you this. Offensively, this team is far and away better than what they were last year. Depth-wise, far and away better than they were last year. We said it, and it could be true. They could be a better team and have a lesser record, right? Not be 10, 12, 14 games over 500, but they're going to be a much better team this year than they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, I said that yesterday. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, it's one of the strengths of this team last year was to a certain degree their depth. It was that second unit, right? Like, I mean, when that second unit would come out, they would take advantage of the other team's second unit, and it would be a huge bonus for us. But, I mean, with injuries and everything else, I mean, you had to break that up, especially in the playoffs. We all saw how that turned out. But I'll tell you what, I mean, takeaways from yesterday is, you know, Julius Randle is going to continue to get better, and he's only going to be helped out by the fact he's got Fournier and Kemba Walker.
Who's a good shooter, a really good shooter.
I mean, he got off to a good start, finished the first half well. There are some times, though, when he starts playing a little bit of hero ball, and it's just, you know, him one-on-one that I don't always love, but I mean, I'm sure that's something that we'll address moving forward. But Obi Toppin last night, man.
He looks different, doesn't he?
I mean, up and down the court in transition. I mean, give him credit. They went small. You know, Tibbs kind of cut the rotation there, get everyone kind of in a groove. We talked about Fournier making that mistake at the end of regulation, but then him to come out the way he did to start overtime, three straight threes like that.
Yep.
I mean, that, dude, I'll tell you what, that game had everything and anything you could ask for in a game.
It really did. I would have appreciated a little more defense from the Knicks at points last night, but overall, I mean, how can you beat up what they did? They beat Boston, right? You saw Obi Toppin, you saw Evan Fournier, you saw Julius Randle, Kemba Walker. I mean, guys played well.
Mitch looked good, too.
Offensively.
I thought Mitch looked good, too.
Yeah, he very good. He's athletic. I will always, and this is just, I don't know if it's me or this, you feel the same way, he always gets me nervous that an injury is like minutes away.
Yeah, I don't know how he couldn't. You know what I mean? That's been the most
He's
frustrating
so
part about him. Well, no, he put on weight. It's just he's on freak injuries, right? Like, I mean, last year he breaks his hand. Then all of a sudden he comes back, he breaks his foot. Like, those aren't, that's not soft, you know, soft tissue injuries. That's just kind of like freakish injuries. But hopefully he can avoid those. You know, Derrick Rose clearly has some chemistry with Obi Toppin, by the way, on that pick and roll. And, I mean, you get Obi Toppin out on transition.
Oh, my goodness.
And when they play good D, they lock it down. You see what happens to that crowd, man. I mean, they start, you know, with that defense chant. And then the Knicks make a big stop and run down the floor with a dunk. That place goes crazy.
You can feel it, though. You feel the excitement with the Knicks now. Like, the Garden is going to lose their minds with this club. Because this is going to be a really fun team this year. And they're going to score points. And they have guys that can shoot. And they have depth. And they have the athleticism. I'm telling you, this city is going to... They fell in love with them last year. They're going to love more this year.
Yeah, and you went against the Boston team. Now, Tatum wasn't great, but Jaylen Brown was...
Oh, God. And he wasn't even supposed to play in this game.
No, dude, he's just come back from COVID. I mean, yeah. He missed 10 days, barely practiced. He drops 20 in the first half. I mean, luckily, you slowed him down in the third quarter, and it just so happens that's when R.J. Barrett decided he wanted to participate in the third quarter because he did nothing in the first half.
He was good in that third quarter, though.
I hope we get away from that, though. That was his M.O. last year, wasn't it?
Where he's quiet, dormant in games.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't see him in the first half. Then all of a sudden, in you know, second half, he would break out of it. But it's like it would be nice if he contributed a little bit more early in games.
100%. I can't watch 24 minutes of, like, is R.J. Barrett playing tonight? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there he is. There's no reason for that.
No, there's no reason at all. I mean, he's now in his third year. Like, they're asking, he's got to be, like, I know we brought in Kemba, but, you know, R.J. Barrett has to be that guy. Like, he's got to be that second real option to Julius.
You know, it's amazing. And listen, long-term this year, offensively, they should be so much better. Because Kemba Walker, and now you're asking Derrick Rose to do less. Evan Fournier can score. Toppin's going to be a better version of himself. You still have Julius Randle, or you still have Alec Burks. Like, this team offensively, you know, you'd hope you get to the playoffs and it's not, oh my God, they figured out a way to slow down Julius Randle, and now they've beaten the Knicks. There's second and third options on this team now.
Yeah, and the big thing, too, is that second and third options that Julius can trust. Because, I mean, you saw it a bunch of times last night, right? I mean, Julius Randle essentially is going to be the guy that you want to shut down, right? Like, any game you go into, he's your best option. We saw the season he had last year, so let's not let this guy beat us. And I think there were times last year that he didn't necessarily trust the guys around him, so he would force it, right? Rather than, you know, accept that double team and then dish it, he would try to, you know, do it all by himself. And it would be, you know, and I know it drove you crazy too. Like, okay, I'm gonna spin into the lane, pick up my dribble, jump, and then hope to God I can find someone to pass to. Usually ends up being a turnover.
I hate that.
But he's so effective, man. Like when he has his head up, sees the double team coming, and now he dishes it. I mean, there's wide open shots to be made.
And when there's guys that you feel good about taking those wide open shots, all of a sudden it's a completely different feel. Speaking of one of those guys, here's Tom Thibodeau on the new acquisition, Evan Fournier, and what he did last night.
You know, we've seen him do that. That's who he is. Like, I never worried about him making shots. He's proven, you know, throughout his career that's what he is. And I think the more that they played together, it was nice to see he and Julius build some chemistry together. And I think Kemba, the more he plays with that group, the more he's going to get into rhythm.
You know what else they should be able to do? They should be able to not have to play Julius Randle 46 minutes a game this year. Like, they should be able to give him a decent amount of rest every single night.
Well, the reason they didn't last year is because you couldn't trust Obi Toppin to take those minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, last year, I understood they didn't have a lot of scoring options. Obi Toppin was really, for the most part, unplayable last year. I don't think it's going to be like that this season. I think you're going to be able to play Randle 37, 38 minutes a night, which is still a lot of basketball, but at least you're not going to exhaust this guy every single game.
I'll tell you what, though, too. You're going to have to earn Tibbs' trust, right? Like, as a young player, you're going to have to earn his trust. And if you go out there, I mean, Quickly wasn't great yesterday, and, I mean, he didn't play much at all. But that kid, Jericho Sims,
mm-hmm.
is a freakish athlete, man.
Freakish athlete.
And he's a big boy. Like, that's a big body.
He has a lot of hair.
Yeah, he's got a nice set of nice lettuce on top of that thing. And then Tibbs with no mask. I love Tibbs with no mask on either, because you can just see the disgust on his face.
He must have been nauseous
beside himself.
Some of the defense last night.
Dude, he must have been beside himself with how the end of that fourth quarter played out.
Because that game was over.
It was over.
That game was over. Like, it took everything going the wrong way for that to go to overtime. And listen, they win double overtime. It's fun. The Garden's electric. But I mean, he must have been apoplectic about what happened at the end of regulation last night.
Well, just think about it, right? So, I mean, at the end of that game, I mean, Kemba, I mean, he imploded into that game. I mean, he had an inbounds play turnover. He made pass attempt, you know, for Fournier, right? And then Fournier hits a big three, pushes it back to six. And then, for some reason, Kemba tries to make the pass to Randle. That gets tipped away and stolen. They go down and score. Then he tries to make the pass to Fournier. That gets stolen. And then, the Jaylen Brown three from the logo.
Ugh.
I mean, come on. And then all of a sudden, Julius Randle goes down and hits two huge free throws to push it back to three.
And then you should have fouled.
And then, well, I think they were going to try to foul, but the fact that Tatum fell down, I think, screwed everything up.
And then my thought is always foul. And then after, I said, you know, they should have fouled. Oh, it's revisionist history for you. You wouldn't say that. No, you always foul. I want it to be known right now. That is my belief. That is my mindset. You always, always foul. I don't care what the situation. Closing seconds, up three, you foul.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And you said that the entire time. I stand by.
Especially when the other team doesn't even have a timeout.
The play was to follow, though. You're correct. And I think they were, I mean, I'm hoping that that's what was supposed to happen. But because Tatum fell down, it screwed things up.
Now, that being said, they won. Not a big deal. Guys are probably a little more tired than they should be. Santiago, which is a good thing, got less sleep because I'm happy. I'm looking for him to be punished. And overall, I think the Knicks fan wakes up today and feels pretty good about things.
Well, give them tons of credit, though, man. I mean, just, I get it. At the end of that game, I mean, for them to blow it the way that they did, but to bounce back in OT, especially Fournier, to bounce back the way he did in OT,
yep,
and find a way to pull that out. I mean, do you want to play double overtime? No, you don't. But that's a good test early in the season. That's first game of the season to bounce back like that in overtime, which was great.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Spike Lee. I love Spike Lee. Do I need to see Spike Lee after every single big shot that the Knicks make every single time?
See, what's funny is that every time you saw Spike Lee, I also saw my buddy's boss who was standing right next to him. Was sitting right next to him. So every time they showed Spike Lee, I was more focused on him than I was Spike Lee. And then
that,
Tracy,
like, black,
Morgan's,
that black sweatshirt?
Yeah.
That was him?
Yeah, and how about Tracy Morgan's, I didn't even call those necklaces. They were like gold ropes.
Yes.
They were humongous. I don't know how he kept his head up.
How was he able to stand up straight?
Like, I don't know how you get home, take those off, and you know, like, your neck isn't completely out of whack.
Well, maybe he's doing like a workout.
Listen, he's got to be doing something because maybe he does neck exercises to keep those things up.
I think that's what that is. So do you agree with me that you don't need to see Spike Lee every single time, or no?
I don't need to see him every single time, but I do appreciate his energy.
I'm not saying I don't like his energy. This is no fault of Spike.
For a second there, I thought we lost him. He talked a big game. He was done. And now he's back.
No, you can't. You can't. There's too much excitement with this team now. Like, there's a real buzz. It's palpable. You can't be done.
After you see everyone tweeting about it, too?
LeBron tweeting about it last night.
Tweet of the night, though. Gordon Damer, tweet of the night.
Well, I appreciate Gordon's tweeting, but I didn't see it. What did he tweet?
In one game, the Knicks have given you more excitement than the Jets and the Giants all season.
They also have as many wins as the Jets and the Giants. He's right.
Football around here, man. Something's got to happen. Something's got to change.
It's cruel. It really is cruel. All right, so people are lined up. I imagine you want to talk to the people, right?
I am a man of the people.
Today, by the way, great day. RJ has already gotten me my reads. The Knicks win. We got football tonight. Things are happening here at 98.7.
Listen, Dave, I mean, this is, it's a Thursday. I mean, to say things are happening, probably an understatement with the amount of stuff we got going on.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so do you want to start out? Is Omar's suspension lifted, by the way?
Yeah, it is. He came back and knew my first name and my last name.
Let's see if he still knows your first and last name, and let's lead off the show with Omar in Brooklyn, who must be very happy. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, Rick. DiPietro, how are you?
Look at you. Oh, Omar, you're a wordsmith. We're doing great.
Listen. This is the best money in my life I have ever spent watching last day game. This is my second opening day opening game of the season. I went on the 54-game season when Sandy was happening, and I got tickets very cheap because somebody wanted to sell it. And this is the second. I was waiting for this year, all year round. And I am telling you, I told Gordon Damer months ago, I don't want to lose a home opener ever again. What Buffalo Bills did to me, that is such a playful experience, that to win that game when they beat you, they took the heart out of you. The whole medicine they got it when they, damn it, hit that three-pointer. My goodness. Oh, my God. The guy behind me, he was a running commentary. He said, man, these things are going to give me a heart attack one day. I was cracking. I said, you're not going to lose this game. And then I went towards the bottom. He said, where are you going? Where are you going? I said, I'm not going nowhere. I'm just going to the bottom, coming back right away before the
whole thing. Oh, boy, you are just such a treat. Thank you for the call. Rick, I got to be honest with you. I don't know what he said. Something about the guy behind him thought he was leaving. He went to the bathroom. The Bills had a bad loss. That was so painful. But I love that guy. I can almost see the smile on his face right now.
You can hear it through the radio. Yeah. You can hear that. Here's my problem with Omar, though, right? It's a known fact on the show. Omar loves the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
I mean, where
is he on Tuesday morning?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is when we need you. People want it. People want the energy, good or bad.
Oh, to freak out on Tuesday. You're right. I mean, now we're Thursday. Week 7 is starting tonight. I think it's lost some of its luster. It's so far out that the pain is not still there for you. It might be there for him, but we want to hear it immediate, raw. The raw emotion of the whole thing.
Well, especially because we know he's up anyway. Like, he probably didn't sleep after that game. So he's got no sleep, sleep deprived. They just ripped his heart out. I mean, they went for it, didn't get it. Josh Allen slips down. That's the Omar we need.
Yeah, that is an emotional Omar. The Lonnie we need, he's always there. There's no one that supports the show more than Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Cousin Dave. Good morning, Cousin Rico. Good morning, Cousin RJ. Come on, Cousin Santi. Santi, I know you're tired. But, hey, man, that double overtime win was, whew, man, what a game. What a game. That is a game that the Knicks usually lose. I'm just so happy. I was telling this to RJ. I'm just so happy and hyped that they actually pulled off a win, even though they put themselves in a bad situation. Uncle Rico, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Dave, we love it. Stop. Dave, I could tell you definitely stayed up for the whole game because at the beginning of the show, you sound terrible.
What the hell does that mean? What do you mean I sounded terrible?
You sounded like you was tired.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did a little bit. Just a little bit. Rico, don't laugh at that. It's not that funny. You just sounded like a little tired. Not anything wrong with your voice or anything. You just sounded like you was up all night watching that and watching.
Lonnie, I don't understand. You call up, we're family, and then by the end of the call, you're like, Dave, you sounded tired. And then he's laughing. You're like, all right, Rick, shut up. I mean, why are you being so mean to us?
Whoa, who's being, Dave? Nobody's being mean. All I'm saying is that you sounded a little tired, which lets me know that you actually stayed and watched the entire game. Rico, I can't say the same unless he had a couple cups of coffee.
No. Rick, you know, Lonnie, Rick didn't stay up for the game.
Rick did stay up. Yes, Rick's two cups of coffee and a Zoa deep right now.
He said yesterday he was going to stay up for the entire, he said, all the way through. So I'm assuming he did. The game didn't. It kind of went off, you know, because, but once again, what a game. Omar, I'm glad he called in, but he does need to call in after Buffalo Bills lost. You said we need that raw emotion, and we need the raw emotion for the Knicks, of course. Let's go. I mean, what a game, family. What a game. Let's just hope that the Knicks can continue to do that all year and just fight. That's all we can.
They get a fight.
You know they're going to fight.
They get a fight. Their head coach will not allow them to not fight.
Yep, that's it. I mean, family, you know I've done what I came to done. Of course, I love you guys.
Thank you, Lonnie. The great Lonnie in Harlem.
You know what Lonnie's doing here, though, right? You know why he took a shot at you? Because he's trying to get back in Santiago's good graces.
You know what? I'm proud of him. Way to go, Lonnie. Yeah,
those so two not, you don't want to punch forth. Him in the face anymore, Santi?
No, not at all, Lonnie. You call in any time. I'll never hang up on you.
Now, I know that you enjoy taking pot shots at me, all three of you. RJ, the least, but all three of you enjoy making me the bad guy on the show. Did you think I sounded tired when we started the show today?
He lacked energy. A little bit of energy. Yeah, a little bit.
Raymond?
I couldn't really tell, but then again, I actually am tired, so I'm not really observant of that stuff right now.
RJ? So.
I thought you brought it. I thought you were good.
RJ okay. whispered in my ear, he's like, oh, what's wrong with Dave? He sounds tired.
No, he did not. You know what? Honestly, one day, I just want you to do the show by yourself. 3 hours of
There
you.
Will never be a day, just so
Why?
You know. Just
Why?
So you know. You can write it down. October 21st, 5:31 a.m. There will not be a day that I do this show by myself.
Why? You could do it.
It's not a question of could I do it. I prefer not to do it.
Well, I prefer for you not to do it as well. But just one day, I would love for you to say, you know what? Dave, you're off. I'm going to take the reins, and I'm going to run with it. We're going to, I mean, the Open you have down pat now. It's scripted. It's beautiful. And I think you could do a sensational three-hour show. I really do believe that.
I appreciate that, but it will never happen.
Maybe one day.
No, oops, maybe
my,
no.
My comrades, it just doesn't work.
Could I also say, too, before we go to break, one of the points that Nephew Lonnie brought up that I thought was a good point,
mm-hmm.
because that, he's right. I mean, that game had, as a fan, I mean, emotionally, it was up and down. It felt like a playoff game. It had that kind of intensity.
Yeah, it did.
But what if we spent all this time talking about with the Giants, especially early on in the season? Like, we all realize they stink now, but, I mean, the conversation we had early in the season is bad teams find ways to lose games. Mm-hmm. Good teams find ways to win games. That game last night, especially with how the fourth quarter ended, could have been a game that, you know, a bad team finds ways to, we're going to find a way to lose this game.
And that would have been heartbreaking. Like, today it would have been a very morbid show if they would have lost that game last night.
But they didn't, right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
So, I mean, that's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, and they could have easily fallen apart because Boston was hot in overtime, too, and the Knicks fell behind. And when they hit that first three, you probably were thinking, oh, God. But they came back.
Well, no one could miss to start overtime. It was just raining threes all over the place to start overtime.
I know. And then they couldn't hit a shot. It was a very, very strange game. Now, here's what I do not understand, and we'll break in just a second. 800-919-3776. He refers to you as Cousin Rick.
No, I'm Uncle Rick.
And he just said cousin.
No, I'm Uncle.
Oh, all right.
I'm Uncle. That's why he's my nephew. Yeah.
Gotcha. That's what didn't make sense to me.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Let's take a listen. Is it Julius? Is it RJ?
I can't wait to go home and lay in the bed, I swear. I don't even know if I'm hungry enough to eat. I'm so tired to play. I don't know what I played, but first game back, whew, goodness, I'm tired. But we got it done. We got it done.
Who do you think it was?
I want to say RJ Santillo, but gut is telling me that's Julius Randle.
Yep, you're right. Very well done. Julius Randle just exhausted after the game last night.
I will say this, though. As tired as he is, there's nothing better. Like, to get in the locker room after a game like that, when you're just completely, I mean, physically, mentally just gassed, and you have a win, then nothing better.
Great.
It really isn't.
So good. So what do the Knicks have? Orlando on Friday? Is that next up?
Because I'm telling you right now, Dave, as tired as you are, you go home after, the Knicks blow that game last night, the way that fourth quarter ended, and, you know, go through double overtime and lose, as tired as you are, you won't sleep. Like, you wouldn't. Like, you'd be up all night going through that
game. Such a bad taste in your mouth. That'd be awful.
It would be. I've been there, man. It's the worst.
Be dreadful. But now, look what they have coming up. So they have a game Friday against Orlando. Then they come back and play Orlando at home at the Garden. I mean, you start to look at things. They should get off to a good start this season.
Yeah, they should. And, I hope people are paying attention, too, to how crazy. I know, you know, with... And again, I'm not making this conversation about, you know, trying to attract free agents or anything else because I like this team a lot. But, I mean, when the team is good and the team plays hard, there's no better – and wins, there's no better place in the NBA to play than Madison Square Garden.
People are taking notice now. You can tell on social media. You know, LeBron tweeting about it. Like, it's obvious. And I got to tell you, I think we are now there where the foundation is built that if there were to be – a big-time player available, a disgruntled player somewhere, and the Knicks have the ammunition to go bring someone like that in, that there's not going to be, I don't want to go to New York and play for the Knicks. I think that I think we are past it. I think New York is now an attractive place for an NBA player.
Because the other thing, too, is it's not on that one player. You know what I mean? I think that's been some of the hesitancy is it's been so dysfunctional. They haven't been a winning team. There's no winning culture. So now, you know, I come in and it's just me. And if we don't win, guess who's going to get blamed? It's going to be the star.
That's
as
right.
As opposed to now where, I mean, between the front office and now, I mean, the coaching staff and the team that they've built already, you're going to come in here, you could be that missing piece, and your team's going to win, and you can compete to hopefully win a championship.
Now, I'm not saying I'm looking to deal these guys.
No, no.
But
no.
If there was a star available, and I traded, I don't know, R.J. Barrett, Obi Toppin in a one, and I bring in a star player, think of who that star player now comes in and plays with. Right? You still have Kemba Walker. You still have Derrick Rose. You still have Evan Fournier. You still have Julius Randle. You still have Mitchell Robinson. Right? This you bring in a star player to that grouping, all of a sudden you become a really dangerous basketball team.
Yeah, the point is, and it's not, again, this isn't a conversation about, you know, we're one game into the season, and we all really like this team, right? It's not, okay, now let's go try to get a start. That's not the conversation. The conversation
no, that's not what
is,
I'm saying.
Is that we're at a point now where, you're right, people are taking notice.
I think my point is this. I'm not saying they're going to make a trade tomorrow. They should go after this guy. I'm saying the narrative has changed. The, I don't want to go to the Knicks because they're a landmine is over. They are now, I think, on the verge of, if not there, a destination that guys would want to go to.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I completely agree with you. And it's not one of those ones like, okay, I want to come to the Knicks just because it's my only option and they'll pay me the most. Like, we're not desperate anymore. Like, the Knicks don't have to go out and try to chase after stars. They don't. Like, this is a place now where you look at it, anyone, I mean, I don't care who it is. I know the name, you know, Zion Williamson has come up, like names like that. Like, you look at what's going on here, and you see game one of the regular season in the building like that. I mean, how could you not want to be a part of that?
Yeah, but you're also not desperate, and you'll make smarter,
exactly,
more concise moves when there's not desperation there. Like, if Zion becomes available and you get him, great. And if you don't get him, you know what? You're still a pretty good team. So it's exciting, and it hasn't been like this in a very, very long time. Let's go to Trev in Riverdale. Trev, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? First time caller, long time listener.
Well, we appreciate the call, but I guess I would say why. Why is it taking you so long to make the first call?
I'm glad you asked, Dave. I actually work 6 in the morning, and I truly enjoy y'all on my way into work. You actually wake me up, and by time is I get energized after hearing the Omar and then laid back after hearing Lonnie call. It's too late. I'm already at work, so it's no need.
Never!
All right. Well, we'd like you to know that the phones
well, we like
are
that you're involved, Trev.
We'd like to hear from you, Trev. We'd like you to become a staple on the show.
Okay, I promise you. From this point on, I will.
Because you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you, Dave. You are my man.
And Thank you.
Dave, you came through today because I was waiting for you to say something so outrageous like what you just said, and then Rick tried to correct you real quick. Like, no, we're not trading nobody to get anything. They was ready to mortgage the team the way Donnie Walsh didn't want to do back in the day, and they did it for Carmelo, and we don't want that to happen again. Not this time, not with this team.
No, but I think in Trev, he gets a little carried away. I stand by what I said. Well, no, I think the point is that now we spent so much time, you know, chasing after winning. And we thought that, you know, the quickest way to win was, you know, get a superstar. More importantly, a couple superstars. And no one ever wanted to take our money. No one ever wanted to come because it was dysfunction and everything else. And, like, who would have thought in a year and a little bit that this team would look like this, right? Like, no one expected that.
No. How is it misconstrued what I said? I didn't say go out there and make the move.
Well, because people hear what they want to hear.
That's not what I said, and that's not fair. And I say a lot of weird stuff, but this was not a weird thing. What I said was I think the Knicks are now a functional enough organization that guys wouldn't hesitate at coming here.
Yeah, this would be on I would imagine. I mean, this would be on people's short lists of teams they would like to be a part of.
The Knicks are good. It's New York. The place is at a fever pitch right now. Couldn't be more excited. What's the downside? You're not going to be asked to be Carmelo Anthony where it's like, go out there, score 30 points a night and, you know, just dominate. There's a real supporting cast. Things are trending upwards right now.
Yeah, they absolutely are. They absolutely are. And this is the NBA, man. The reality of the NBA is you never know what's going to happen with disgruntled stars. So, I mean, you at least have to put yourself in the mix in case it does become an option.
And that's all I'm saying is that they are now a team that I think is a viable option. Should we do a quick check with RJ? Did the Rosenberg wedding present arrive as of yet?
That's a negative.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Hand to God, do you really, truly believe that he sent it?
I think it will arrive.
No, that's not what I asked.
No, he did not send it when he said he sent it.
Do you think he truly sent it when he said he sent it?
No.
No, he couldn't have.
No, but I feel like it's in the mail now.
Unless he tied it around Bear's neck and has Bear walking it to Brooklyn. No, there's no chance.
I'm upset by the distraction that you're falling for here.
And I know where Peter lives and I know where I live. And if Bear had left when he said he sent it, Bear would probably be there already.
So when did he claim to you that he sent the wedding present?
I didn't give a date.
Monday he said he had already sent it.
Yeah, he said it was in the mail Monday, which means last week.
Hold on.
He said
this Monday that he had already sent it, and if it wasn't there by now or within the next day or two, he would have some real concerns that it got lost.
That's what was said.
This whole thing is such a fraud. There's no way he sent you anything.
Oh, this is why you just bring the card with the whatever you're going to give the gift.
You're looking at me now. I'm a picture of beauty.
I mean, why deal with all this?
He brought this on himself.
Just negative attention that you don't need.
All right, do you feel lesser about him than you did when you got married?
No, I don't.
But you took a moment to think about that. Like, you're not sure. I don't. Like, you might not like him the same way you once did.
No, because I think in the end he'll come through. It's an adventure, but I think we'll get to where we got to go.
But it's a needless adventure.
That's not the issue, though. But that's not the issue. That's like, I mean... That'd be like if you told Ange, hey, listen, you know, I didn't get you the birthday present yet, but it'll get here soon, and you never really even ordered it, and then you ordered it, and then a month later, well, more than that, it shows up.
At this point, you know, you should probably just send it back.
She's
Peter, thanks, but no thanks.
Peter, why couldn't you just shut your mouth?
No, but to know Peter, that is this is part of the charm. This is the ride when you buy the ticket.
But it's so unnecessary. Yeah, I mean, he's made a meal out of this for no reason.
Yeah, but listen, I'm not sitting there waiting on it. It's not money I'm sitting that I need, that I'm counting on. So at this point, the stories and the adventure and the content that comes from it, I'm actually enjoying it.
You do realize now that this is going to become an everyday question for you.
Yeah, look at what it's bringing us.
It's a distraction is what it is. We don't need these kind of distractions.
Yeah, no. Tremendous. What is this distracting us from? Talk about the Knicks? You see what they're doing,
we're
guys.
Taking away the attention from the Knicks. That's the problem.
I'm Hack Rosenberg.
You're going to eventually get this envelope. It's going to be an underwhelming amount of money. There'll be arm hair sprinkled in the card.
Which is his M.O., right?
Which is his M.O. You'd be littered. You think it's going to be a glitter card. No, it's arm hair.
At what point does he just get on the subway and bring you an envelope and drop it off at your apartment and say, RJ, I'm sorry, but here you go?
I don't know if he does subway, but I don't think that'll happen. I don't think there'll be a hand delivery, no.
You don't,
he lives
so you
minutes
believe that
from
the entire trust is with the postal system?
That's right.
He lives minutes from the studio. Would you like me, and this is a guy who like almost cried on live radio talking about RJ leaving for our show. Here's the deal, RJ. This is where you need to question how close you guys are. Me and you, right? You say to me, hey, I wanna give you my gift to you for marrying Ange and I. I said, listen, don't worry about it. Whenever you get it to me, you get it to me. But no, you won't stop because you want me to enjoy the present.
Well, because
do you bring the present, you drive all the way down to Midtown, pick up suit jackets for me, and then drive those and the present all the way out to Long Island.
He really is a good friend. RJ, let me ask you this. Who do you feel closer to, Rick or Peter?
I'd have to go Rick. I've known Rick longer, and after the marriage service, that's where you got to go.
Well, so there's a closeness between you and Rick that you and Peter just do not
have. Did you hear what Rosenberg said? Well, with Rick, though... he was never going to accept my gift otherwise. That had to be done. That was a necessary step because he was never going to voluntarily say, yeah, I'll take whatever. The guy dodged me for weeks and months on getting him anything. He wouldn't even give me a list of something I could get him. I couldn't even get him a lottery ticket.
Listen, if you want to buy me a present and drop it off, you're welcome to.
You're a nice guy, too. You deserve credit. I give you a lot of flack. I don't know if this can be public, but I guess it will be now. But I saw you yesterday. You bought me a nice little lunch. It was really something.
Now, this is what I do.
Yeah, you're a nice guy.
This is what I do. I'm a man of the people. You're a good friend. I mean, I had something in the city that I had to go to, and I made sure to come in earlier to see you.
I've batted for the show cycle. I've seen you all in the last week now. It's a really exciting time in my life.
It really is. Then look at you.
That's a big week. That's a really big week.
Bunch of beautiful banana.
You did. You did. Next stop, dinner party.
When is that happening?
I'm going through the dates now. I'm going. This is, I mean, you're talking
So a couple things. Clearly can't be on a football Sunday.
Well, no. See, that's the issue, though, because you're putting all this pressure on me, and I want to do it. Trust me, I want to do it. Like, I was begging RJ to stay with Ange longer at the house because I enjoyed the conversation. The problem is I got football on Friday nights with Milo.
Right.
So, I mean, that eliminates all these Fridays.
But that can't go on forever, does it?
No, that's the thing. I'm waiting to see when that ends. I don't know yet because it's a cluster.
Right. So Friday certainly is an option.
So Friday will eventually hopefully be an option. And then Saturdays, you know, we got hockey and stuff, but I think Saturday night could possibly be an option. But now I got to check, you know.
Knicks and Rangers.
Exactly right.
Right. Because otherwise Santi can't make it. So I mean, put this in the algorithm. The ideal for me, and I'm just saying this is for me, obviously no Knicks and Rangers. And then like a I don't know, maybe 4 o'clock arrival on a Saturday. That would be sweet. Perfect.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll do. We'll do an early dinner. We'll have some, you know, some drinks and maybe some hors d'oeuvres early, and then have like a 5:30 dinner.
Perfect. And then we practice the whole birthing thing after that.
Yeah, then we light you up with the stim machine.
No, not just me. Everyone is doing it.
Yeah, but I think we'll have the most fun doing it to you, though. I think
probably
that's what's going to be happening.
Probably so. On a full stomach, too. To really make
no,
it interesting.
No, we're not going to do that. No, really we don't need any make accidents. It
fun. Really? You want me to bring the dogs? Accident.
No, you're not bringing the dogs.
I can bring the dogs.
No. No, you're not bringing the dogs. Last time we had a dog at the house, my dad brought his dog, and the dog's like your dogs, and it's eaten. It had a stick lodged in its mouth.
My dog, Barkley, eats leaves as if they're like dog biscuits. Like he's outside. He's like, oh, look at that. There's a leaf. There's a branch. And nothing bothers the guy. He's got an iron stomach.
Yeah, but then he... What do you mean? These are the dogs that poop on the walls and stuff.
That's her.
Bothering him.
She is the one that does not have the iron.
I had no control over my bowels.
She's got a bad tummy then.
Oh, not good. Leo in Pennsylvania. Leo, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome. Well, first of all, Omar was hilarious. That whole call was just had me tripping over here. First of all, I just want to say a couple things and I'll let you guys go because I just got off of work.
Santi, you hung right up on the guy?
Wasn't me.
No,
The telltale little boop there tells you that was on his end.
the alien abduction noise.
The telltale little boop.
That could be a sneaky good
drop.
Did
you have that on your bingo card today? Will anybody say the telltale little boop? If you hear that, then that's what happened. The little boop.
Oh,
what a phrase.
The telltale boop. We'll use that.
Excuse me. What sound was this? Oh, that was a boop. Can you describe the boop?
Poor guy just got off of work, too. He's been up all night.
Had a great point, and then he got the boop.
Then he gets the boop. He's tripping over there. He just got off of work, and you booped him.
Yeah, you booped him.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.